Stronger in Christ Relationships. I want to take a minute to place this sermon series, Stronger in Christ, within a larger sequence of what we're doing here in this transition time. If you'll recall, last September, October, we talked about spiritual gifts. And what was that? That was an effort to connect you individually with God and understanding your spiritual gifts. That was an individual thing. And then that was followed with stewardship issues. You would decide that on your own if you were going to talk to God about that, or your family, but that was an individual or family issue. And now this, we are ready because of a sequence to have a sermon series that's called Stronger in Christ, and really kind of it means stronger together in Christ. And here, we're now focusing on Bible studies in your bulletin every week and an invitation to be connected with each other. So there's a sequence there. What this reminds me of is when I was maybe 10 years old growing up in Concordia, Missouri, on a farm, and my parents decided I should, you know, take swimming lessons in case I was ever drowning in a pond or something. Concordia, Missouri wasn't big enough to have a swimming pool, but Higginsville, Missouri was, and that was 13 miles away. So we went there, and I'm remembering how it was that I and my brother were taught to swim. This was interesting. First of all, you just had to go underwater and hold your breath like this. You know, and I'm thinking, never before in my life had I ever done that before. So first of all, just get used to being underwater, you know, basic. And then you could dog paddle, and then your head was in, and then side stroke, and then, you know, finally, see what I mean? There's a sort of, if you want to learn how to swim and you don't know anything, there's a logical progression. And it's the same way in our spiritual life. We grow by progression. So that's what we're doing. That's what this sermon series about, Stronger in Christ, is addressing. Now we're ready for this. And the key words of this are just in Christ, in Christ. We are essentially, this took me a long time. I've been here a year now. I'm just figuring this out. So what are we doing here? Well, we're asking questions. These are kind of our questions, and we're listening to God's answers through his word. These are our questions. Why do I say this? Because I'm reflecting. What happens at a seminary? Well, I think kind of. Here's what happens at the seminary. You get really, really great answers to questions that nobody's asking. Right? Why, back in the 1500s, or the 1800s. No, we're living in today's world. Wake up. The seminaries are great places. Right? But come on, pay attention. So that's what we're doing here. We're kind of asking questions. These are our questions. And then, good thing, we're paying attention to God's word as they address them. But these are our questions. Here's the question for the day. We talked about hope last week, remember? I think, what is hope, and could you grow it, and how would you do that? Well, I think those are good questions. Here's today's question. Relationships. How could I have stronger relationships? That's the question of the day. And the answer is, well, by the way, that's a really good question. Wouldn't you want to have better, stronger relationships? I would think so. If you want that, here's how you can do that. You should develop a stronger relationship with Christ. Wow. Hey, I never thought of that before. I don't know if that seems new to you. I'm telling you, it seems new to me. Good questions are a good thing. Thoughtful. That's what I like about the Lutheran Church. Sort of Christianity for grown-ups, thoughtful, curious. So now let me ask you, I'm going to ask you to think about all those relationships in your life. How would that apply to you? So the things I'm going to tell you next, I'm going to give you three scripture readings with three answers. But before we get to sort of answers, I want you to think about all the relationships in your life. I want you to think about the nature of your relationship with your spouse, or your parents, or your children, or the people you work with, or your neighbors. I want to have you think about your relationships with anybody else at school. Think about, you know, we just came from the holiday season. Maybe not you. Maybe you have relatives you can't stand and you got together with them anyway. Maybe there's people you don't like. You know, think all those relations. Think about how you might have better relationships. Stronger, better. How would that happen? And my answer globally is your relationships will improve if you can do this one thing, which is develop a stronger relationship with Christ. So now, to dig a little deeper, those three scripture readings were intentional. And the first one was on page 7 of your Bible. It's the story of Noah and what happened after the flood. And what happened afterward is God made a covenant. He said, okay, covenant is a really strong word. Genesis 9, 12 to 15. That word is mentioned 3 times. This is a sign of the covenant, covenant, covenant. It's a contract. Today is Sunday morning. Saturday morning, I was with my wife at the bank signing something, and it was an electronic signature. And then, you know, I was a financial planner for 5 years, usually electronic signatures. And a signature is a sealing of the covenant. It's okay, I'm in. Know what I mean? Pretty big deal, a signature. That's what seals the deal. God made a covenant with all of all living creatures. Was it mankind? It's described, I'm going to make a covenant with all living creatures. I promise I'll never flood the earth again. And his signature was what? It was a rainbow. It's so cool. God's signature. It's a promise as a covenant. Now, the thing about a contract or covenant is you have to trust it. Trust. And so I'm telling you, I believe a important element of any relationship is trust. I read this great book. It's called The Speed of Trust by Stephen Covey. It's interesting. It sort of studies. The premise of the book is it doesn't have to take a long time to develop trust. If you yourself understand how you should be trustworthy, you will speed it up if your behavior is good. You know, like, tell the truth, do what's right, keep your word, those things. So sometimes, this is the pastoral part of our relationship speaking, sometimes the person breaking that trust is us, right? Sometimes we're the bad guy. We, because we're sinful, we do bad things. So how would you restore trust? These are 3 steps to that. Helpful, I hope. One is say you're sorry. You apologize, and then you say it like you mean it, not like, I'm sorry you were offended. No, that's not it. Say you're sorry. But the second thing that comes after it, no, it's not done yet. I'm noticing this is where people stumble. You have to understand if you did something wrong, you have to understand why that was harmful. You can't just say you're sorry and expect everything to be fine because you said you're sorry. No, that won't do it. Pay attention. You have to understand. And I'm noticing when people don't understand, it has no impact at all. Your I'm sorry won't work if you don't get what you did. See what I mean? You have to own it. You have to experience that pain. You have to understand why what you did was wrong. But then I think there's one more thing after that. If you want to restore trust, relationships, trust, one more thing, you have to make it right. And that means from the ripple effects of a really bad thing, you have to attend to and pay attention and put some effort into those ripples out. Sometimes it's just stop doing that bad thing. Sometimes that alone will heal it over time. Just stop doing stupid things and, you know, it'll go away. But other times you have to go about and fix it. So this is important to understanding trust in any relationship. When we read of the covenant of God, we understand how important trust is in any relationship. And these are three steps for restoring trust if you've broken it. All the bad things other people do, you can't control. But this is something you're in charge of. You, if you've done something wrong, you have the power to make it right. So that's why this is helpful, right? Okay, trust. The next reading was also interesting because it's in Romans 8, 37 to 39. And we learn there that the most powerful thing in the world is the love of God through Jesus Christ, because nothing is stronger than that. And this section of scripture comes with a little attitude. It says, can anything separate us from God's love? No. The first second, no. No. It's into it. Nothing can separate, not even, and he gives a list, not this, not that, nothing can separate us from the love of God through Jesus Christ. So trust and love. Love is powerful in any relationship, any relationship. Do you like that person? Do you love that person? When I think about love and generally what love means in our culture, my mind goes to romantic love, the kind of love you would die for, that you love someone so much, you do anything, right? Because that's what we think of. So that love, that kind of love, and we see it in movies and we hear stories, it truly, truly is powerful. But that is a romantic love will last as long as you're alive, but God's love lasts for eternity. There's something even more powerful than love as long as you're alive. If you give up your life for it, it's over. You're dead. You're gone. It doesn't last. But God's love is eternal. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Not death or life or angels or rulers or anything. Not even death. I hope I can communicate this. I hope this sinks in. Just how powerful is God's love that it overcomes death? Last night, I go home, I live in Linwood, I have some time before I go to, I'm scanning, here's a movie that's on, it's Risen, I've seen it before. Risen is the story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it tells the story, I think it's a centurion, a Roman soldier, and I'm telling you this because it's so dramatic. If you see that movie or see it again, you're nodding like it. But let me tell you, here's the soldier who sees Jesus die on the cross. He's doing his job, and there he is, and this guy dies. And then he's dead for 3 days, and he sees him again. What? Oh, my. Pretty much when you die, you're dead, but evidently not in this case. And it touches his heart, and it touches our heart. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ was real. He actually did live and die. Because he was able to rise again through the power of God, we know, we have proof in Jesus Christ that God's love is more powerful than death. And so, in Christianity, you have people willing to die for their faith because they know they will see God again. We know in the early church, people were sacrificed. They were martyrs in the Roman Colosseum, eaten by lions, etc. A again from TV the other day, I became aware of an organization I didn't know existed. It's called the Center for the Study of Global Christianity. And according to their worldwide studies last year, the year 2016, 90,000 people worldwide were martyred, Christians, 90,000. Over 10 years, there's been an average of about 90, so 900,000 people. That's more people were killed because of their faith than in the early Christian church. I didn't know that, did you? So this morning, I had a little extra time. This is really up-to-date sermon prep. Here's a printout of a study of worldwide Christianity. And I haven't had time to study it, but it's interesting. Most Christians in the world today are in South America and Africa and Asia, not in, you know, Europe and America. Just interesting. So today in our world as we live, people are understanding. One third of all the people on the face of the earth are Christian of one kind or another. In fact, because I know this from my previous intentional interims, the largest Lutheran church in the world is in Ethiopia, Makana Yesu. We have two Ethiopian, Missouri Synod Black Ethiopian pastors in Seattle area. That church is about 6 million members, which is by now more Lutherans than are in the United States or anywhere else in the world. Interesting how God is moving in the world and how the love of God is changing lives to the point that people understand what eternal life means. We live in Federal Way. It's a big world. I'm talking now about one element of relationships is love. And there's romantic love, but then there's the love of God through Jesus Christ. So we learn from God's word about the power of trust, the power of love. And then our gospel reading is John 21, 15 to 17. And here is a remarkable account to set the stage. Here is Jesus in his last days. Now he's died on the cross. He's risen again. And then he appears to his disciples on the shore with a fire ready to make breakfast. And after breakfast, he says to Peter, "So Peter, do you love me?" And Peter says, "Yes." He says it again, but the third time. You know, I can't even talk about this without catching you. This is such an intimate thing. Jesus asking Peter, "Do you love me?" And Peter says, "God, you know, please, yes, you know everything. It brings tears to my eyes just to talk about it. You know I love you." And what does Jesus say? Jesus says to Peter and to us today, "If you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, care for others." So our exploration of the power of relationships has to do with understanding something about trust and love and care. And care is a powerful understanding also for us, because I'm culturally curious. I pay attention to what happens in churches and countries and history. And we're living in a time today when the sense of caring for each other is diminishing. We are becoming, as a country, more divided and divisive. So as I look into the future, what our country needs from you and me is the witness of Christ to be more caring for each other. As time goes on, that will be more noticeable, because it will be more rare. This is what God calls us to do specifically today, I believe, to care for each other. The hardest place to do that, I think, is in high school and college, because at that age, people are more, more vulnerable, generally less confident than any other time in your life. So it's the hardest thing for you than anybody else. You get older, you deal with it more. For us to be caring people is the challenge that Jesus gives to you and me. Instead of saying, "Peter, do you love me?" he could say, "Your name, do you love me?" "Yeah, Lord, I love you." "Okay, then please care for other people." That's a hard thing to do. It's a hard thing to do. I don't want you to think that, oh, you should just care for people. It's a hard thing to do. We have, as you get older, you develop a lifetime of experience and attitudes. But that's what God calls us to do. And that's both a law, you should do this, and a gospel in that God has already given us that ability to do that that we otherwise wouldn't have. We are in Christ. This is not something you should do more. You are in Christ. God already does love you. God is today already equipping you. I'm reminding you of a reality that already exists. God loves you now, just the way you are. That's the gospel message. There's no other message like it in the history of humanity. God loves you. And yet we are challenged at the same time. Do I want you to do something? Yeah, I do. I'll tell you what it is. I want you to read the Bible more. I want you to pray more. This is my Lutheran altar call. At the end of a worship service, you might be asked, come on forward and give your life to Christ. I'm going to ask you to sit where you are, but still, this is like the, am I going to ask you to do something? Yes, I am. Here it is. Please do this, if you would, please. Give your heart to God. I'm asking you to, in your life, spend a little more time in prayer, if you would, please. I'm asking you to do that. Would you pay attention to God's word? Would you read the Bible more? You have an opportunity with this Bible study insert to explore questions. Would you do that? If you are, then you're responding to my request. This is a Lutheran altar call. You don't have to get up or move. You just sit where you are. But it's a request. I'm asking you to do something. Because I believe if you do, all of your relationships in life will be stronger. Why? Because as you are in Christ, you hang out with Christ more. If you hung out with a bad crowd, you'd be doing bad things. If you hang out with Jesus, you'll be doing good things, meaning that you'll be thinking about how you can give rather than take. You'll be thinking in Christ to how you can offer a word of kindness rather than a word of judgment. In Christ, your life will be transformed. You will be stronger in Christ. Your relationships, all of them, all of your relationships will be stronger in Christ, because in Christ you will be a giver rather than a taker. In Christ, you will know more about trust. In Christ, you will know more about love, especially the love of God. In Christ, you will know more about how to care for others, because you will be closer to Christ. So that is the message of the day. Stronger in Christ, relationships. How would I have stronger relationships? By being closer to Christ. That will make you more available to other people. That's my prayer for the day. May God grant that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now would you join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we do give you our lives. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us your word to lead, direct, and guide us. Thank you, Lord.